Welcome to the Baseball Hotel AfterBuzz After Show, Season 5, Episode 3, Bad Blood. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Tay-Tay. T-Swizzle. Whoa. Joe. Oh. Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show. Baseball Hotel After Show.
She broke it down. Did you hear it?
If you're watching on YouTube.
There was the breakdown right there.
If you're watching on YouTube, I apologize.
Oh, you missed the scene for the 100th time.
Oh.
YouTube for the 100th time, Joe Tamflippo bite his lip. Oh, wait.
So strong. Because the beat hits me so hard, I got to bite my lip.
Thank you for joining us for the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely non-dancing professional duo, Casey.
Hi. I did dance.
Oh, I missed it.
Okay. I was there. How did you do that? I didn't white man overbite it, but I was dancing. Signature move over here.
I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Carey.
Hello. I don't think I danced. We've done a little head sway.
And I'm also joined by Joseph Lippo.
It's nice to be here with you guys. I don't know why everybody gets so mad when I bite the lip, because, you know, you got real lip.
T-Swizzle. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much for those of you who joined us. Hey, we can get rid of Tay-Tay.
I don't want to sit next to Flippo anymore.
Why are you with me?
He's making me uncomfortable.
We have to stay in time. Can I reel you guys in?
Yes.
It's the sporadic, but it's just sporadic movements.
We're out of control.
I just want to start the show.
Okay. I think we should do that. Let's talk about the show.
No, but before that, I do want to get some housekeeping out of the way. Thanks for joining us on iTunes and on YouTube, as you often do. Really appreciate, you know, we're back. We've been doing the show for 5 years. We came back. And thanks to you guys out there, we're back on the iTunes top, you know, sort of 100 and climbing, which is great. To be back there.
That's great.
One of the top 10 shows on AfterBuzz, which is great. Our YouTube engagement is very high. I appreciate all you guys. And so,
a lot of opinions.
Some of you folks, like CC Freak and Michelle D and John Doe, Ron Crawford, even Kester Narbonnell.
Oh.
Wow. That's fancy.
Buckeye Veronica, Robert Waters. I'm just going to shout some of you guys out. About 36 Greeks. A guy with a bear and a horse. That's you, Joe. Wolf guy. Ola. I don't know what that means. Virtual virtual side sunflower. House headed. I don't know what that says. But yeah, her or him. Kylie Johnson. Nicole Stevens. Susanna Olson.
You know
who else?
Can I interject for just one minute?
Yes.
I know a lot of the fan feedback from last episode was that we didn't talk about what the headline on the newspaper that Norman was reading was.
And it was
White Pine.
We didn't see it.
Yeah. White Pine Bay newspaper that Norman was reading was about the townspeople's concern about the security at the mental institution. So that is. Maybe that's some insight into where Dr. Gay Edwards is.
Uh oh.
Dun dun dun.
Oh, man. That's a producer on his game right there. That's what that is.
Super Joe Miss saying, I just want to say, you know, we have fun doing the show. And I'm sorry, it's not a comedy. It's a drama, but we love the show. We have fun doing the show. And if you don't like us, you don't have to watch or listen, my friend. But thanks for your comments. That's what I have to say about that. Everyone
well
else, we love you as well. So listen, episode 3, Bates Motel. Show's pretty good.
Yeah.
The show is good. Like, again, one of the things that I forget about Bates Motel when we're talking about all the, you know, the murdering stuff and the psychological thriller and the this and the acting and Vera and Freddie and everybody's so wonderful is that the suspense, it's actually an incredibly suspenseful show. I was at the edge of my seat this entire episode, and then it was done. I'm like, well, nothing really happened. But I was at the edge of my seat the entire episode of something that ended up happening. Well, I mean, no one got killed, is what I mean.
What?
What
show
were
you watching?
No one got killed.
I have.
Did I watch a different episode? Because I saw Caleb at the end. He didn't look so hot. I don't think he was going to roll off that and get on a skateboard and go do some tricks. I think Caleb was jacked
Caleb's
up.
Caleb's resilient. Caleb's not dead.
He's a big guy.
You think they're going to drive? They're going to drag Caleb down into the basement and bring him back? You think it'd be like, oh, let's spoon feed him some grog? Caleb's out, Jack.
Well, let's unpack some of this. First of all, lesson: don't text and drive.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
That is a PSA if I ever did see one.
Yep.
And I would say that Chick needs to re-examine how he wears his glasses anyhow, because if you saw
his kimono.
It's very crazy glasses placement, and I think that was definitely played a part in Caleb's undoing.
Let's take this back to the very beginning, because there's a lot to unpack, and we don't have a hard wrap. Mm-hmm. In 31 minutes and 40 seconds.
No, right, let's keep talking about that instead of the show. Let's go!
31 minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
Just kidding. No, so let's get into the show. So last week we left a situation where poor Caleb got clunked in the back of the head. And,
yes, I was wrong. I thought he got stab-stabbed.
Yeah,
I thought he got stab-stabbed too. Yeah,
definitely got clunked. And on the side of the head, as his wounds would appear. And by Norma, and Chick was there. And the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see him waking up and having a conversation with Norma. And, you know, I mean, you know, you get a concussion, you're a little fuzzy, but he sees and hears Norma. But, of course, it is Norman. And immediately he recognizes it and is sort of like, well, not immediately, but after a while he recognizes it and sort of plays along as best he can.
Very well done.
Very well done by Caleb as he tries to figure this thing out. But that was quite a remarkable sequence. Not only the way they shot it and how it looked visually and how it was sort of that ethereal look into the dreamlike state, into the harsh reality, but also the reality that we're facing that, oh, there's a dude in an effing wig talking to another dude in a basement. What do you guys think of, what do you think of this episode, first of all, and what do you think of that scene a while ago?
Well, I mean, this episode just posed a ton of questions for me. What I liked most about the very, very opening shot was that they started, if you listen to just the audio, they started with Norma's voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they tell it from Caleb's perspective, and then they, as they are fading in and out, they intermesh Norma and Norman's voice, and then they end on Norman's voice as you see Norman's face visually. I thought that choice was really, really good.
Excellent.
If you were to describe what happened, like, step by step, to somebody that had never seen the show, it would sound really cheesy, right? Somebody was dressed up as their dead mother, they're having delusions, but the way that they do this artistically is just phenomenal. I thought this whole show was great. I'm pretty sure we lost two, if not three characters, big characters this season, this episode.
We'll see about that. We'll see.
Where's Madeline?
This episode is directed by Sarah Boyd, who is also known for a lot of other great TV shows, but like mostly sort of suspenseful stuff, The Return and The Strain and The Killing. Great job in this episode as well for Sarah. Julia, what did you think?
Of course I love this episode. I love every episode. Yeah. But I thought visually, like we were talking, and the audio, everything was really cool. The devices that they were using. I love the insertion of a sane person into this demented world.
Mm-hmm.
The insertion of Chick actually living in this house and how he's sort of maneuvering through this sort of mind of Norman's slash Norma's and how he's sort of playing them both and trying to like figure out what his place is and how he can be present to both of them is really interesting.
Hey man, he's got a taxidermy business, a black market taxidermy business to get going.
Yeah.
And he's also got a hot book.
It's art.
He's got
a financial investment in my man Norman.
Yeah.
Flip, what do you got?
Well, you said something that I thought was so great that this stuff would seem cheesy and goofy if the show hadn't earned it.
Yep.
And the show, that's when we talked about this last season and probably season 3 and 2 and 1. Yep. The show earns every moment it gets. It just, you know, they kick their own ass to make sure they earn it. So
and the longer it goes on, the more it's earned.
So absolutely.
When I tell you season 5,
you're so in.
They can do it. Yep. So, you know, I don't know, a pig can come flying from the sky. We're like, of course, the pig's flying.
And I love the device.
Fine by me.
Yeah, that flying pig is beautiful. Don't go by the kids in the hall because you'll become a sandwich. Flying pig? Am I the only one that remembers that? Kids in the hall, flying pig, worth your time. So I love the device of Chick. That's the last thing. The other thing I want to say. I love that we have an amoral, meta character that is essentially us. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm here to observe. I'll have a little bit of, you know, a little bit, but not much. I'm gonna keep my hands off. He's us. Yeah. He's our entry into the storyline. And I love that it kind of shines a light on us too, doesn't it? In a weird way.
Yeah, because like, it's a voyeuristic quality that we all have as viewers. Chick has, and it's such a brilliant sort of plot device and device by Cary Aaron and Carlton and the writing staff to sort of be able to say, this is some crazy shit going down. Like, we need someone else to see how crazy this is from a real person's perspective, not just from Norman's perspective, which is a little skewed.
Mm-hmm. Now,
we spent so much time trying to figure out, was Norman, who is this? Now we have Chick there to know, oh, this is what's
Chick
happening.
Can help us navigate. But here's what I love, and I would really love to get Carrie Aaron on again at some point this season, mm-hmm. because, you know, we it was fun a couple seasons ago when we had her on, because we were like, hey, does the car as a character exist in the way we think? Mm-hmm. She's like, yes, absolutely.
Could answer those hard questions.
Right, and I think with this show, they don't do things by accident. So many shows, they're just moving on such a, they're on such a time, a deadline to get everything out. A lot of slapdash stuff. Every episode of this show is so carefully put together. It would not surprise me in the least if Chick was set up as a meta character to display you to you while you're watching this.
Sure, of course. So, I mean, I think
I don't think it's an of course, but I think that's what they did.
I don't say of course, but I believe that that's the case. I think that that's very artfully done and very smartly done. That Chick is purely as a device for us to see.
Well, what's been interesting of having Chick in there, I feel like, for Norman, because we've seen Norman be Norman be Norman, but he also has these moments that are rooted in like actual reality. You know, mm-hmm. when you think about him going through the mummification book and things like that, that mm-hmm. is what has to be done in order to
right.
retain his craziness. But having Chick there sort of validates his
it's
mindset.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's extremely dangerous.
It's dangerous because it enables his psychosis.
Absolutely. It validates it. Yep. All right. of it. Mm-hmm. So his moments of actual reality, I think, will be fleeting.
They're
fading
away. I
want to continue down the road. Continue down the road of this of the Chick and Caleb storyline. We'll get back to our man Romero, who's
on gosh. The run.
But this happened. So Chick, you know, we see him, his wheels turning. He's making these calculations here. Like, he's obviously pieced this whole thing together. Caleb's pieced together what he can. Chick has now made the calculation that I'm going to stay here and observe this and maybe enable, mm-hmm. because for the purposes, I imagine, for his book, for his own pleasure, he has that sort of metaphysical, very holistic thing he says to Caleb, like, it's, what is he saying?
Well, he says, I'm here to help.
But this is like, it's not my... Mm. It's
he says that he's just here to observe.
Yeah, I'm just here to observe, man.
Yeah.
Whatever happens to you now, it's up to Norman. I'm just an observer.
I'm just an observer. It's his journey, man. I am the man, but that's what it feels like he's doing.
Chick is great with the one-liners. Isn't it interesting the way that Norma asked all the questions that we were asking last week?
Yeah.
As far as, you know, what are your real intentions? Norma straight out asked him.
Yeah.
You know, you've been bringing him dead pets, you've been bringing him food. Like, what are you really doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's Norma's down. You can always tell that in the middle of all of this craziness, she's only there to protect Norman. That's her right. main job.
Well, actually, not only do we need Chick, though, as a sort of a surrogate for the audience, but, mm-hmm. you know, Norman needs Chick, because how is he? Dude's passed out every 5 seconds. He's passed out holding his uncle's hand. He's passed out down in a dress. Someone's got to pick the poor kid up, clean him up, put him in bed, and put him in his jammies. And be like, you know, someone's got to keep the shit in the horse, as Joe Flippo says all the time. And I think that Chick serves as that. I mean, mm-hmm. Norman can't fix a window. You know,
Chick is functioning as a meta device for the audience and as a shit putter backer in the horser.
Yes,
and a butler.
And a butler.
And a butler.
That's and right. Butler. You don't have to.
So that happens. I think one of the most telling. There's a couple of real, you know, telling conversations there. We touched on the one that he had with Caleb. So when Caleb's like, he's clearly crazy. Help me. He's like, that's not what I'm here to do, man. Sorry. But then he has the couple of conversations. It's been a joy to sort of watch Chick piece this thing together. Like, mm-hmm. every interaction he has with Norman, you can see him going like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know about the blackouts.
Is Norma here now? I talked to Norma, right? But the moment, like, yeah, now he's blacked out, he asked, you know, do you have these blackouts all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And this led to this wonderful dinner scene. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of dinner centerpieces.
How good is this show at dinner?
Every season has a great dinner centerpiece, but this is the table. The table's a character, for Christ's sake.
This show kicks ass at dinner. When Carrie Aaron writes a dinner scene, she writes a dinner scene. You're not going to miss a beat.
It's like they leave those family values. It's like, we're going to have these family values. We're still going to hold true in the midst of the chaos and the madness. We're still having dinner every night, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the situation where we have a dinner, and I'll get back to Caleb, but we have this dinner with Norman, Chick, and Norma. And, you know, and good old Chick, he's cooked dinner. He's bought
nice
it. He set a table.
Nice curry.
He learned how to cook that where? In Thailand?
Thailand. Where else did he learn to cook?
Chick's world traveled, by the way.
Boom.
He wears kimonos. He's easily been to Japan. He's got a kimono.
No question about it.
My man wears a kimono like nobody else.
You see him, and you saw he's got his kimono with his mad dome action right there. He's
kind of like a man bunny, but it's like a more of a Japanese kind of man bun kimono thing.
And you know what? And he's got this glasses on the mad crazed skew. He just fits right in. It just works. The aesthetic
every
works.
Second of him.
Chick
every
doing
second of him.
Chick's doing a lot.
But here's what I think is so, and this is what I want to find out. This is why I want to ask Carrie Aaron. Why do we if Chick is being modified now into a meta character, kind of like to show us? Why are we dressing him so crazy? Like, what are we saying? Like, because
it's a chick.
I think that's interesting.
Well, he has to be crazy enough, I think, to buy into all of this. Like, anybody else would be like, this is nuts. But I think that Chick is one of the only characters that can jump into this world and see it from a different perspective.
And frankly, this has been established from the moment we've got introduced.
No, he's always
Chick,
been bananas.
So it's not
like
this is a new twist that he's, like, you know, dressing weird. Like, this is sort of how this guy is. I think there's a lot of this has to do with my man, I can't remember the actor's name, who plays Chick.
Ryan Hurst.
Yeah, my man Ryan Hurst's sort of creation of this character, which is fantastic. Every affectation the guy has is something like I've rarely seen. And the way he, you know, the way he sort of maneuvers through these scenes and talks to these different people is just amazing. But dinner. Chick makes the dinner. He makes the wonderful Vietnamese curry stuff. What not Vietnamese? The curry stuff.
Thai curry.
Thai curry, excuse me, from Thailand. But I love how he's, like, shoving plates over to Norma.
Yeah.
And looking over there like, you know, how's that taste, Norma?
Yeah.
You know, and
he's real quick. When Norman caught him on that, did you not hear her? He's like, oh, my ear.
Yeah. From the beatings, you know.
So he's bought all the way in, and he's got his tape recorder going.
So it sort of seems, though, like Chick is sort of figuring out how to maneuver this situation when the exactly what you're saying. Like, did you not hear her?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, my ear. But then Norman is sort of shifting a little bit to help him out as well when he looks over. And, Norma's mouth is full. I'll answer for her.
Exactly.
So it's sort of like playing both sides and trying to find where we all land as a new happy little family.
And it's all just endlessly fascinating watching Norman's brain sort of watch what parts Norma feels like she has to say and answer, what parts Norman's really knows. Mm-hmm. It's obvious in his conscious and subconscious and he's a split personality, but just watching who chooses to answer what and how and what those conversations are, not only with each other, like with Norman and Norma, but like as a group, like, what's that, mother? Yes, she's right. Like, all that stuff is fantastic to see.
Props to Chick for keeping up with that. Like, for keeping up with all of that, like when Norman gets home and he's like, you know, your uncle's in the basement, and he has to then realize how much Norman doesn't know and how much Norma knows, and the fact that what Norman knows, Norman doesn't. Like, it's a lot of, props.
What's the over-under on Norman or Norma finding the tape recorder and playing it back?
I think that's, let's save that for predictions.
Episode what?
Yeah, episode, it doesn't, 100%.
There's
no question.
Stone cold lock.
He bought a typewriter. Who's going to find that writing in the house?
No question.
I'm like, get a laptop, chick.
No question.
He's like, I'm old school.
He's got
good enough for Hemingway. It's good enough for me. Those pages got to go somewhere.
He's got the recorder on his iPhone. I mean, not for anything. The man's got an iPhone. I know there's a recorder built into the iPhone. I mean, it comes with it. It's in extras. It's right there.
He's old school.
He's old fashioned.
I'm old school. So speaking of chicks, at least Chick has a bridge back to Caleb. So, you know, Caleb's in the basement. And, you know, I think Caleb's. Yes, go ahead.
Can I just say, Kenny Johnson.
Acting his ass off.
Not only can Kenny Johnson kick your enormous ass. In an arm wrestling match.
Allegedly.
One second.
I mean, you could not have lit a cigarette in the time it took him to kick Joe's ass. And not only that.
Too bad there's no tape of that.
Down in the basement, he's acting his ass. The man has no ass left. He is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, he's brilliant.
We will get Kenny Johnson back on the show.
We have to. He's a brilliant guy.
I will not arm wrestle him again.
I wouldn't.
But, yeah, he's really... I'm always a big Kenny Johnson guy. He's going to be in the new... the new SWAT Sean Ryan is doing, creator of the Shield.
Oh, nice!
So Sean Ryan's doing SWAT. Kenny Johnson's going to be in that. We know him from the Shield with Sean Ryan and from Sons of Anarchy with Sean Ryan, Kurt Sutter. So it's all in the family there. And look, he's fantastic. And he's like, again, we talked about this a lot last week and before that, but how we have such incredible sympathy for a rapist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or incest survivor.
Incest. More
incest
than
survivor or incest survivor, incest in...
They had a mutual relationship for years.
Okay. But you were saying he's rapey last week.
He is a little bit rapey. And what was interesting is the two times that the rape was brought up, once from Chick to to Dunkel. He's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then Dunkel, and then Norman said the same thing. I don't want to talk about it. So it sounds like they feel the same way about it. They still love each other.
And by the way, when old Chick comes down and wants to have a nice chit chat with Dunkel, and he said he starts the recording. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? Is he really trying to piece some? He's trying to piece some of the story together so he knows for his own right? Is he B, just getting materials for his book, or is he C, trying to build a case against, you know, Caleb and help with this whole situation with Norman and Caleb?
I think it's A and B.
I don't think it's C. I think it's character development for his book, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like I said, amoral observer. I mean, it's so bizarre that that we have this character inserted into this. And it's interesting because, you know, it's almost difficult to remember because, you know, when you visually see something, your mind, even if you recognize intellectually, that woman's not really there. Yeah. Even when you see it, it still kind of messes with you. This whole thing took place between Chick and Norman. Those are the only two people in the house that were interacting on, that were not tied to a post. So, I mean, and it's difficult to remember that because, but so that, to me, we got to remember that and keep that forefront in our minds to remember that, you know, that those are the only two people in the house. So much of the enabling is happening from Chick. Chick is way stronger and bigger than Norman. At any point, he can put a stop to it.
Oh, yeah.
At any point.
Just he can put a stop to this.
This is his meal ticket. And he's fascinated.
I can't remember. So when Psycho is a fruit seller, is this still the fruit seller turn basement? Or is it just a basement? Like where Norma is?
She was in Psycho. She was in the basement.
She was in the basement. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a fruit cellar somewhere? Am I making that up?
I don't know. Maybe that's what I remember.
Anyway, stay out of that basement, or you got a dead woman down there. You got a freezer full of dead folks then down there. You got a guy chained to the basement.
Not for long. He's out.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah. Do you think that Caleb was sharing that hallucination a little bit too?
Yes,
absolutely.
For a moment, I thought he's
concussed.
He's been concussed.
Yeah, well,
that's an interesting point of view.
That's my next question as well. I want to talk about that.
I didn't see that his eyes were dilated. I wasn't looking that close.
you didn't put the flashlight to the television.
You didn't see the blood.
Check his eyes. See if they're dilated.
I wish I watched it with you. I'd have seen you with the flashlight.
Snapping your fingers, Caleb.
This man is concussed.
I agree. So we saw at the beginning here that sort of we talked about that sort of theory. Dream sort of like sequence that makes sense. He's coming too, but then he does it again. It's a couple times. One is sort of when he is actually out. He's a dream where he gets out and he runs and he embraces her and and she's dead and he freaks out. But then, you know, at the end there where he's fully awake and upset and he's banging stuff around, Norman comes down. Clearly, this has no wig.
Yeah.
No, nothing. I can understand if he has a wig on and a dress, and maybe you squint your eyes a little bit. But no, man, he's got his like sweater. He's got his normal hair. He's not even doing the voice. He's just Norman.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb's like, Norma.
So what happens there? No, but he's not Norman. He turns into Norma.
He did.
He was coming down the stairs as Norman, and it was the most amazing transition where he's looking and he's scared, and then all of a sudden he like changes.
He did. He did a little flippy,
and then he was Norma.
I know that I'm sorry. Of course, Norman did transform into Norma. From Caleb's perspective, it's still Norman walking down the stairs.
Yeah, Norman in a suit. Now he's not wearing. You're right. He's not wearing a dress.
The first time we see Norman, he had the wig and the dress, and maybe he can be like, I don't know, is it Norma? But this time it's clearly Norman, you know, and he starts talking that talk, and he's like, I love you. Next thing you know, they're holding hands.
But he's seen him like Norma as Norman.
Right.
Fuck. That Norman/Norma attacked him in the hotel room.
Yeah. Right.
He was dressed as Norman, but he was Norma.
Familiar with the whole situation.
He was actually the first to see him transition. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Can we offer an explanation as to where Caleb is? Because there seems to be some sort of like, he had the flashback to them as kids. He had the confession, the full-blown sort of confessional talk with Chick. He's had a lot of time down the basement to think about it. He clearly knows his sister / mother of his child is dead, you know, and now he seems to be like, I'm ready to go be with Norma. I'm ready to go be with Norma. I'm done. So is that where he's at?
Well, that's the question. Is Caleb on some level just accepting? Is he psychologically going, I will repent through Norman what I did to Norma?
Yeah,
because I love her, and then
maybe
I'll just accept that this is real. I'll apologize to this, obviously person. Not, but maybe is, kind of, you know, the madness of it all.
He's got a sweater on.
Right? And sport coat, I think, too, right?
Yeah.
That's a big shoulders on Norman. I mean, yeah. But I think that he's choosing to, you know, he's I want my redemption. I want, you know, he's living in that regret and that pain. He has been for so long. And maybe he's chained up downstairs. Screw it. This is probably the end of it anyway. And she's dead anyhow. And she, but she's somehow here for me to apologize to. Maybe I'll just take that. I'll take that at face value. And I'll give in to this hallucination for a second. And, I mean, at the end of it all, when Norman does come down, after Mama Norma comes back and says, you got to go whack him, and gives him the revolver. Rough scene, by the way.
Yeah.
She was having so much fun with that revolver. Clink, clink, got to do it. Right. Unreal, right?
That a boy.
Right? That's my boy. Go get him. So when he comes downstairs, he doesn't move. And it's you got to remember, you know, and they you know, this was shot so well. I mean, the Romero scene, you know, sometimes you watch a scene where you're watching like somebody being held by a gun and you like the way they shot it, you're like that person could just totally knock that gun out before the gun will go off. But they were very careful in the Romero scene where the kid's holding him with the shotgun. Mm-hmm. They were very careful to show you, no, this kid had a bead on Romero. Romero had no shot at this. But at the same time, they shot that scene in the basement with Caleb and Norman. You got the sense at any point Caleb could have stood up, overpowered Norman, and been out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because Norman was freaking out, but Caleb had completely given over.
Well, the way the way the camera angle was, I mean, he's like almost in an execution style pose, but, and like with the gun off to the side of his head, like just do it before that he
yeah, and then but right. that's what I'm saying. But Norman was a mess, and you got I got the real sense anyway that at any point Caleb could have overpowered him, but he chose like I want to be done.
He didn't want to go. Like when he said, "Go get out of here." You go run. He goes, "I have nowhere to go."
Yeah,
where do I go? I was done. You got the sense like right away. I sorted it all out. I was done. Yeah. I was over.
Die. So I mean, but what about the hallucination bit? I get all that, and I'm not discounting anything you said. But what about the part where he's sort of like
I think that was strictly for the audience's perspective.
Well, that's the question. Yeah, was it for us or for a little bit for him?
I think it was actually happening to him.
Yeah.
You know, I always have it in the back of my head. They always reference how their mother, Norma and Caleb,
she was
batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Norma was crazy.
I mean,
Norman runs in the family. Is crazy.
It would be kind of unrealistic.
Like the most normal guy in the world either.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be unrealistic to expect that Caleb did not get a little of the crazy seasoning when they were mixing him up. Did we shake some of that crazy in it? Oh, go ahead and stir it in. He'll be
just
fine.
Just a skosh.
One of the things that's also interesting to me about back to the Norman sort of the psychosis of Norman is like you mentioned the scene where Norma sort of saying like here do it. And I mean, what does that scene look like in real life? Is it him with the gun back and forth and you know talking to himself?
Or does that all just happen in his brain?
Or maybe happens in his brain. But what's even more interesting, the fact of the matter is Norman's a stone cold killer as Norma. Like when he's Norma, like
no hesitation, no remorse.
He's killing that. But even when Norma tells Norman, he's Norman. He's like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. The where that is in his brain, where the same guy on one side of his brain could just be like heartless, but the Norman of it all really just he couldn't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. He walked down there and like squeeze right to the brain, squeeze, get out of here. And it's really fascinating to me that like how Norman is really struggling to not be a killer, to not become his mother, to really help his mom, so he cover up for his mother only, but doesn't want to kill. That's sort of the sad, tragic tragedy of all this.
But also he's interesting that Norma can't bring herself to kill Caleb.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, until he's running.
Well, no, but still,
understands that he has to die, but she, as Norma, can't bring herself to do
it. So she didn't. It wasn't that she, not for lack of trying. He was running, she was shooting.
But she confessed that to Caleb.
Yes.
Probably going to have to die, but I can't do it.
Well, I can make that choice while you're here, all tied up. I can, you know. But later on, when you're running, and I can see the shit running out of the horse, I can take a swing.
That's a graphic.
Time you've referenced.
He started it.
All right. So listen. So I agree with that. But
at the record show, he started.
What's so interesting to me? What I think what this amounts to is, you know, they don't. Neither of them want to kill Caleb. So obviously, Norman doesn't want to kill Caleb. Norman doesn't want to kill Caleb. That's why he doesn't die. Like I like the idea of like, well, Norman has to do it. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman's like, well, Mom would have to do it. I can't do it. So it's interesting. But I just wanted one last thing on the whole Caleb Norma thing. The embrace. I mean, what does that look like? You know, I mean, again, Caleb is in a finger lock with a 21-year-old man, and they're swaying back and forth and in love. I mean, that's. You're right. Some of the crazy season clearly must have went to Caleb on that.
No question.
All right, so
he's concussed like a mother father.
Maybe a little bit of both.
So he runs out. We'll just button this up. So we'll button this up. We can go to Romero. But like he runs outside. Chick receives Norma's text, looking at his phone, and of course, very conveniently runs over Caleb. He's on the ground, maybe dead, maybe hurt, maybe further concussed. Caleb's we'll soon dead. Find out next week. I don't think he's dead. I also want to mention before we go on to Romero, Norman had a visitor, had a nice little visitor, and this is my favorite Norman. Kind of the flirty, that mug, he had a pep in his step like no other. He popped down those stairs. He had a joke. You're not the butler chick. Like, I love that Norman.
That Norman can't kill anybody. That's a nice guy. He could be trusted with your sister.
And again, that
even if she's blonde.
Actually, no, he can't because Norman might have sex with your sister because Norman's got game. That Norman's got
game. He's going to pull it down. Let me ask you a question. I think we all know what happened. We brought the cookies. Little Red Riding Hood comes to the Big Bad Wolf's house. Chick, not a good idea.
Check out those cookies.
Chick's like,
swooping on the cookie.
That's something that Norma would do, bake.
Yes, bake she would. Mm-hmm. She'd bake like a mother father, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is Madeline Loomis alive?
No. No, anytime Norman says, hey, you want to take a walk in the woods, that's not a good sign.
Not for anything.
Well, he had taken walks with Emma before.
No, Emma got out. She's the only one.
I think Madeline Loomis is alive.
I think
you think she's
alive.
Still alive?
She's alive. Yes.
I vote dead.
Oh. You think she's dead?
Okay. Julia? I think she's alive.
I think she's alive.
I think she's alive for this episode. Long term, I don't see that she's going to have long
term. No one's going to make it long term.
But she didn't exist in the movie.
Well, here's where I'm at. I mean, like it's episode 3. We got how many more?
That's seven.
Seven
total or seven more?
Seven more.
It's ten total. Yeah. Madeline's still alive. Two more episodes. I think whack her out.
So is Romero dead?
No.
Like he can't just go out like that. That's not where it ends for Romero.
Let's go back to Romero. So Romero is getting transferred. He got the crap beat out of him because he found out he's a cop. They're gonna transfer him over to another spot. He's got a couple of marshals who are sympathetic to him being a cop. Says, "Oh, you got
not
that,
a good idea, bald marshal guy.
That BS perjury thing, man. Too bad. He's sympathetic to him." And
I kind of got to ask you guys, what do you think there in the bathroom? Do you think Romero was like planning it, or you think Romero was like watching the dude and he's like, seriously, guy, you're on your fucking phone? I mean, I'm gonna take.
Oh, I think he planned the whole thing. He planned getting the shit kicked out of him too.
On purpose, so
he would get the transfer.
So this was all his plan. I got you.
Yeah, okay. I'm with Julia.
This is my design.
This is my design. I'll bring it back. Show. He's five moves ahead on the chessboard, and he's like figured out. And he was pals with the guy right away, and he it worked. He got away. And just to see that, first of all, Nestor Carbonell, Alex Romero. Oh.
Big fan.
Nice.
Super sexy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'd have sex with Alex Romero.
That's all strong right there. So what would that look like?
Two men holding hands?
Hey.
No, we got to tell him he can sit on the couch.
You don't know.
Nestor, come back on the show. We promise Joel will be on the other side.
Come back on the show, Nestor. I'm straight, but I will make an exception for there's a spectrum. There's a spectrum, folks.
So Nestor's. Yeah. I got you. All right.
Yeah. So Romero, like he's that whole arc of him sort of on the run. Every bit of that to me was fantastically interesting and fascinating.
You know what I love?
I could watch a whole web series of Romero on the run.
Here's what I love. I love when you distill a character down to one goal. Mm-hmm. And that's where Nestor's at. You've gotten rid of that. That's where Sheriff Romero's at. You've got rid of all the keep it all together for the sheriff. You got rid of keep the money together. You got rid of I need to keep my house. You got rid of all the other shit. All you have now is kill this little motherfucker, and that is it. He's just a man on a mission.
He's just like the Terminator. That. It's like Terminator in 1984.
That is so much fun to watch as an audience member. Because it's like, no, all in service. We're just doing this thing. That's it. And Jason, my man Jason with the beard. Mm-hmm. I got a family. Please don't kill me.
Along the way, so a couple steps along the way, he ditches them, leaves the marshal in the bathroom, finds Jason, asks him for the car, asks him for a ride, didn't work. He pulls my gunpoint, drives him out there. That was a tense moment where he's like, give me all your cell phone, give me your stuff.
And I love the look on his face.
I'm not going to turn around, man. And Romero's like, come on.
I think there was a moment, too, that Romero got, that Nestor found a little bit, a quick little moment where he's like, just like a disbelief. Like, no, how could you think I was going to kill you?
But it's also like, have you seen yourself, Romero? You got two black eyes.
Yeah.
You got a gun in your hand. Look like a freaking maniac. Like, someone get this guy a mirror. Like, he's like, what am I going to do to you?
Like, I kill you? What are you talking about? We're practically sisters. Walk back to the highway. You're fine.
But he had a clear-cut plan. He was like, look, I just need to put some distance between you and the cops. Just get out of here. I'm not going to hurt you.
I wouldn't have turned around either. I would have backed my way all the way down to the highway.
I'd have turned around. I would have. And I'd have had a nice streak down my left leg. Please don't. Okay.
Run in zigzags. That's what they say.
So Romero lets the guy go. He takes the car. He ditches the car, finds another car at a farm, and gets caught by a young teenage girl.
Seems like a girl.
It was a girl.
A young teenager, we should say. And they, I'll use a they them pronouns.
That's a good idea.
And they decided to pull a rifle on Romero. And
Shotgun.
He doesn't survive a shotgun blast.
Yes, he can.
He's a smart
I'm going to tell you how right now.
All
right.
Well, he pulls something on the guy. They have a conversation. He ends up shooting Romero. Romero's dead. Shotgun. I don't know if it's a shotgun. Go. How does
I'm going to explain this to you. You can load a shotgun with all kinds of different ammunition. There's rubber bullets. Right. There's salt.
I gotcha.
There's little rock salt. But there's all kinds of stuff. There's
True
non-lethal.
Detective Season 2, Episode 2.
Non-lethal that you can put in that shotgun. And if you just got it.
Romero can't be dead. If Romero's dead, that's the worst way for him to go out. There has to be a standoff.
There has to be some sort of...
Why would they waste that? They would waste that.
Conclusion to his story.
We've got to wrap this up here, guys.
Yep.
I'll give you guys 15 seconds each for a prediction. Go.
I think that the papers and the transcripts are going to be found, and I think that if Romero wrote a book, it would be called Learning to Live on the Lamb.
Oh.
A Guide to Revenge.
I don't have really a prediction. I'm just interested to see whether, if Caleb died or not, by Chick's hand, where that places him in the Bates family now, if he's the one who took him.
I think my man Chick is going to be hoist on his own petard,
right?
Eventually, and he's going to eventually be wackified by this whole thing. But you said 15 seconds, so that's all I'm gonna say.
That's right. I predict that we're gonna see Rihanna next episode.
Ooh.
And I'm wondering, I'm gonna just count down to Rihanna in the shower. That's all I gotta say.
Under the umbrella.
I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. Joe, where can the kids find you?
On the Twitter is at Joe Filippo, JoeFlipo.
And Julia?
Instagram and Twitter was my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely.
Do a Casey.
DuaKaissi on the Twitters. Boom!
We love you. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for watching and listening to us on iTunes. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.